Just as we begin this morning, we're going to read from Matthew chapter 10. So if you'd like to look that up, I'm just thinking, probably this is not a very profound thought, but it may well be. We have to make a choice how we treat this word of God. Is it something that speaks to us in authority? And if it does, then how do we act? How do we respond to it? Today's a bit of a heavy topic. I've called it Prelude to Persecution. And you can see as we look ahead in this passage that we're going to read, that it speaks of challenge that will come ahead for us. Matthew chapter 10, reading, as you see there, from verse 17 to 20, positively racing through a few verses. But if we look and read together, last week we spoke about sheep and wolves and being wise as servants. Last 2 weeks, actually, and harmless as doves. In the context of that, I'd like to read the next few verses from Matthew 10, 17 to 20. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils and scourge you in their synagogues. You will be brought before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak. For it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak, for it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. Let's pray. Father God, indeed we do thank you for your word and for it speaking to us in the good times, the bad times, and as we will see in the next few weeks, the horrendous times. The saying goes that you whisper to us in our good times, speak to us in our normal times, and shout to us in our suffering and persecution. Lord, maybe there's going to be more of you shouting to us as things progress. We don't look at this lightly, but we understand, Lord, this is what you are saying and this is what you are teaching us. So we thank you for your word to us today. Amen. So in pastor school, they tell you not to start or finish with a bit of a downer because otherwise people can leave depressed, etc., and they won't respond to what's being said. So this is a pretty heavy topic. So we're going to start with something a little bit light today. And so we can see here, I think the lightest thing that I can think of is a chocolate sponge. We've got three chocolate sponges here, and I'd like to hand them out to those who can tell me the 3 points today. Because so far we've been talking about the letter B all the way through Matthew 10. My encouragement to you is that you read through the chapter that we're going to look at before, and as you continue to read ahead, you see some challenges coming up, but we'll continue to look at Matthew 10 in future. And so far, we've looked at, you know, it's been brought to you, as it were, by the letter B so far. There's a but at the very start of Matthew 10 as we've been looking through, and if you look, skim read through it, as it were, there's a be bold and a but, and another behold, that was last week. So there's three more B's that are going to come up this week in the three points that I want to make about this passage. So if you can look ahead and find three B's there's three cream sponges here for you. So the first person who gets it, the first B, can you, Luke?
Beware.
Beware. Well done. Cream sponge that you can enjoy. A lovely light cream sponge, I might. That's the emphasis here. So beware or be aware. Now the second B, if you look, scan ahead, sorry. Very good, very good. Now, I could probably frisbee this, yeah, good catch. There you go, lovely. So, and the third one, better be quick, brought and...
Betray.
It's close to the brought one. Oh, I've given it away. Okay, it's one more, but keep looking through, Carolyn. It's one more B, and it might not be a big one.
But,
very good, Steve. Good catch. Very good, very good. Now, you're most welcome to take those home and eat them by yourself or with your family. But, you know, we know who you are, and I've whipped cream. So we're going to suggest that later on there's going to be quite a special morning tea that if you feel like handing them back, we'll put cream on having them for morning tea. So, as I said, a light start to quite a heavy topic. And there's no getting around. I was talking to a colleague, we were talking this week about what's called the lectionary. And the lectionary is a series of readings that happens in more Orthodox churches, Anglican churches, etc. And the lectionary tends to skip over some of these particular passages because they're a bit meaty, they're a bit gritty, etc. We don't have the luxury of doing that. And I would be very remiss if we looked and said, well, this is not really what people want to hear. But when they actually come, when these things actually happen that I've read out before, we want to know what it is that we should do. So getting right into it today, the three things: beware, being brought, and finishing on a more positive note, the but. So firstly, beware or be aware. And Jesus says very clearly, but beware of men, for they will deliver you up. So there's a caution at the very start of this passage after being told how we would actually have to act, being wise as servants and gentle as doves, but beware of men. There's a bit more into this little passage, beware of men, than might first appear, because it's, as the word Carolyn says, it's a betrayal, but it's a betrayal from those alongside. The word has the word para in it, and the word para is a word that means alongside, and this is those that are alongside you that will betray you. These are the ones alongside you that will deliver you up. These are the ones alongside you that will undermine you. And that seems the most incredible thing. We like it. Sorry, we can handle it. In fact, think of a rugby game or any particular sport. We have two people, particularly in a scrum. We know who the opposition is. We're locking horns with them, as it were. No holds barred. We know what's going on. And there's a sense of camaraderie. But imagine a rugby scrum if the person beside you, who was supposed to be with you, providing traction, going for the goal at one end, at the last minute turns around and pushes for the other side. That might be a helpful analogy, it might not, but that's the sort of thing that's going on here. It's not just men, the particular word here in terms of being aware, it's the men who are beside you. It's a specific form that we don't necessarily see when we read it in English. And I guess the way that we can prepare ourselves for this, to be aware or beware, and this is a horrible, horrible thought. Think of the person closest to you betraying you. That's what it will be like. We see it further on in Matthew 10 as we look at it. It's going to be very close people that will betray us. And it seems the most incredible thing. It's almost like the disciples sitting around with Jesus saying, is it going to be me? Is it going to be me? Surely it's not going to be those people are going to betray. How will this actually be? And then Jesus indicates quietly that there will be someone who sat with you, who journeyed with you, who ministered with you, who witnessed with you. And that's the men, the alongside men. It's not just generally men here. Beware of those close to you, for they will deliver you up. It's hard to know just what the context of that will be necessarily. Have you overstepped the mark? Have they decided it's time for a greater authority than you to be overlaid, that you come into line? Is their intentions maybe good? Do they intend that if you're delivered up to councils, then you might recant your particular position? You might come back to a position that's more acceptable. Therefore, there's a progression that we'll see in the passage doesn't have to happen. It's hard to say. Intentions might be good. We know the road to hell is paved with them. But nonetheless, these are people who are close. Now, Jesus wouldn't have warned us about this if it wasn't something that we needed to be aware of. The danger of explaining this too much, though, is we don't trust anyone. We can't have camaraderie with anyone because we think, well, this person could be someone that could betray us. And I guess if that's true, then I guess because that is true, that anyone at any stage can, and we can feel betrayed by those closest to us. The warning here is to be aware. Don't panic about it. Don't obsess about it. Because if we think that the person beside us who is close to us, or those who are in ministry with us, are about to betray us at any moment, etc., we would become paralyzed by inaction. However, this is what it's referring to here, those that are close to us. Beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils. Now, this is a situation here of one brother delivering up another brother, someone that's close. And we see right from the very, it's a little bit of an older picture here, illustration of what that would actually look like. Maybe thinking for the best, that was the situation. Another one here where Jesus himself is delivered up and being betrayed by someone that's close. We see from Genesis 4 onwards in Scripture where brother betrays brother, and on and on and on we see that happening. So it's not something that we are foreign, that is foreign to the biblical understanding, or maybe even foreign to our own experience. knowing what that feels like necessarily. Specifically, to be delivered to councils, and these are the religious leaders of the day. That there's a situation has arisen, and as I said, I'm trying not to make excuses for the person who was betraying you, us, me, up to the councils, but there is a sense and an understanding that these councils are the ones that will be able to sort out the particular person. They'll be delivered up so that the council can speak clearly and say, there must be a change, you've gone too far, can you recant, or you must recant necessarily. Now, maybe, I'm not trying to sort of make any, join any dots here necessarily, but the highest authority in the Baptist Union happens to be the Assembly Council. Interesting name. I don't know what it how it was called that particularly, but we have an Assembly Council, and ultimately, if you're a very bad lad, you will one day stand before the council. It just goes chook, 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 chook up the ranks necessarily. But actually, I mentioned before about our flat structure. Turns out there's not that many steps before you before the council. And the council will clearly say it's not a debate situation, and I guess that we need to have that in our culture with laws and with courts, etc., etc. The question is, what is the point that's being decided, and who will decide whether this is right or wrong? Maybe it's not going to be on the basis of Scripture. Maybe it's not on the basis of the Word of God. It may be some point of law or some difference that's actually arisen. And it may be, in fact, just the opposite. But here's an example. Maybe in waiting for this to be applied, called the Assembly Council. So that's an example of something we have in this denomination, that ultimately, just to make it clear, it's not actually something outside of the position of the folk that are referred to here, as in we or us, believers. This is who Jesus is speaking to, all of us here. It's the council within your own group, which synagogues use there, obviously. But this is the understanding. It's not a different group that's brought in. It's not outside of your own understanding, the council that you're part of. And once again, the both and comes up again and again, but beware because you'll be delivered up to councils and they will scourge you in their synagogues. So there's a sense here that the delivering is one thing, but the scourging will also happen. Now, this the word for scourge is a severe pain. It's a whipping that happens necessarily. And it seems to be that whatever pain is brought to bear, it's relatively early in the process. Now, maybe the person has not responded, but the person has been let know that there is going to be severe pain or scourging, and that happens actually in the setting, in the church situation. In the synagogues, in the place of worship. I don't know if we can get our heads around that. That we might decide, or the council has decided, that the place for you to be whipped and scourged is in front of your own, as it were, congregation. Now, maybe we say that's a metaphorical thing. That's done on the basis of some sort of discipline that's handed down in some way, that's done in a way that's written necessarily. I think we probably taking a light reading of it if we think it's only going to be that. The persecution that may happen bodily may well be done, but done in such a way as it's done in front of the very people that we are ministering with. So quite a severe situation, but we are told to beware of men because this can happen. Now, is there going to be a delay because of this? If we are more aware of those who might possibly betray us, are we going to be more careful about what we do? As we see above, it's good to be wise as serpents and gentle as doves, to be circumspect about what we're about, to be aware of what's going on, and to understand what can actually happen. But ultimately, this will happen. And I'm using that word in a future tense, but for some, it's happening already. This is not sort of future prophecy or future tense. For some, this is happening in the context of the countries that they're in. We don't yet have it. I don't think anyone in New Zealand has resisted faith to death. I don't think that's happened. Correct me if I'm wrong. But it regularly happens in other countries. It doesn't even make the news. So the folk that would be reading this as we're reading this today say, this is actually exactly what happens. It's the very people that I'm ministering with that betray me, set me before the councils in my own group, and then I'm whipped, scourged, whatever that could look like, in front of the people that I love. Not just talking about church leaders necessarily. So this is actually happening. This is not just an example of something that could necessarily. As I say, heavy stuff, but we need to be aware, because this is what Jesus is warning us about, and it's much better to be aware than to be not. And it happens that our national gathering is called assembly, so that would be the place in which the more public thing would happen. It's just called that necessarily, just to give you an indication. So here's an example of a situation where a religious person is whipping someone in a religious setting. It happens in some faiths, and I'm not even sure necessarily what's going on here, but as you can see, it's in front of the people. It's a shame in the most public way possible and the most final way possible. This person will not only receive the whipping and scourging, but they will be completely discredited from ever serving again in this particular capacity. It's that level that's being referred to here. This is an example here of this is just general AI, or what's the, yep, this is AI. So we've got Tim very kindly generated a picture of what it would look like bringing some things together, because it says here we are going to see a combination of different groups of people that are going to come together to roundly condemn the particular person. Here's an example of a Jewish a set of leaders that are meeting in an assembly hall that would more commonly be where there's a gathering of political figures. A little bit hard to imagine what that would look like, because often they seem to be different places. But in understanding the both end of this thing, there's a progression that goes on through Scripture as we see that eventually all three of these come together, I'll get to that shortly, to roundly condemn the particular person. It's not just one group. It's not just once we've been basically disciplined in front of a group that finishes there, if we still choose to hold our ground. Because it progresses from religious to secular, and ultimately it comes to the regal or the kingship. And the second one I'm going to look at here, the second point is to be brought. So we see here in verse 18, you will be brought before governors and kings for my sake. So the progression has moved on from the religious authorities and the religious discipline and scourging that happens here to governors, which are those who are appointed, but governors and kings. And the highest authority of a regal is the kings who are anointed, those who are basically, as of right, will have leadership and authority. So between the religious that we've looked at, the secular authorities, those who are appointed to lead, will also be having a say, and we'll also be disciplining in the context of how it is that we might find ourselves. And lastly, to kings who are anointed. In a position here, once again, another AI-generated image of what it could look like to have both the appointed and the anointed together roundly condemning the government, or the secular, and the regal, as it were. So the worldly wisdom by now might have concluded that all three powers have concluded that this particular person is due every bit of discipline that's coming to them, because they need to be put down. Their words need to be deleted, as it were. And when they are sent before governors, kings, and councils, then the ultimate authority could be concluded by the world, that this is worldly wisdom. That all three combine, and the ultimate authority is that this person, which will be one day some of us, is wrong. You could argue an unholy trinity that we see in these three different areas that will be the ones that we come before. So only after being delivered to religious leaders, there's lots of ands here, and then scourge, which would be much pain, and then brought before appointed political leaders, and then before anointed regal leaders, do we come to the but at the end. And before we come to the but, I don't know if you've read this passage before or when it's gone through and thought, yes, I know that passage, that's the one about don't worry, when you get before them, the words will be given to you. And I must admit that I had sort of tuned out all the bad stuff before that. And this is sort of the nub of what I want to say today. Only after all of these things will you then be given what you will say and how you will say it. Now, maybe I've been a bit sort of future-oriented growing up, but I remember reading this passage and thinking, don't worry about that stuff, because at the very end, you're going to be given the words to speak. Well, the challenge is for us as believers is to get to the end, to get to the end before recanting and saying, no, this is too hard, I'm going to bail. And again, can I encourage you, that's why we have the family of God. That's why we have a group of believers who can share in our journeys and trials. And the things that we've shared already, even think of a congregation this morning, shared about physical trials, about illnesses, shared about what's going on in our jobs and our families and those various things. That's why we have a family of faith, to remind us that ultimately God is in control. Ultimately, he knows what's going on. He knows where our next meal, as it were, is coming from, and all of our meals for that matter, even when we don't. So can I encourage you to practice and start reaching out and establishing those relationships? Digging the well, as it were, before you need to drink from it. Understanding there are folk here that have gone through some tough times. How do they get through it? We might look and say that that's not something that I could do. And it isn't where we currently are in our own strength. Reach out to folk. Make the ask. Just encourage attendance at small groups during the week. We can get a bit deeper, a bit more serious about what's going on for us. Because if we don't have those support structures and we don't have those accountabilities and our faith, our own relationship with the Lord is weak in terms of our reading and our praying, we might actually be, and I hope I'm not being prophetic here, we may actually be one of the betrayers who say, no, I think our church has gone too far. I think that person has said too much. I think it's time they were reined in, and I think that God's given me authority to do that. I think I should do that. I've had discussions like that, and probably you have too, and understand the context that I'm referring to here. So yes, the but that we're coming to is the positive ending to the message, but understand there is quite a journey to go through before that, and I cannot make light of it. Again, only after being delivered to the religious leaders, the assembly council, and then the assembly are being scourged, and then there's lots of bands here, and brought before anointed and appointed leaders, only after that do we get to the but, the last one here. Now, excuse my graphics here. I've been trying to sort of paint a picture of someone who's been scourged. That's supposed to be someone who's been scourged. I'm conscious it's making light of this very serious thing here, but AI wouldn't come up with a picture of someone being scourged, and it's very hard to find a picture, but it's a whip that causes blood, essentially. So the person is here, and you can see the look on the, I don't know whether it's his counsel or someone saying, mate, lost cause, give up, you've got the authority behind him, you're about ready to be thrown in clink, it's time for you to give up. But here is where it turns. There are two things that we are to do. To don't care, don't worry. There is a clear command that we are not to worry. Now, we don't necessarily know what it is that we're going to be given to speak, and I'll speak about that shortly, but we are told, do not worry about how and when you should speak. And can I encourage us? I'll keep this short, but again, there's practices that we can do with this. The word said, don't worry about what you will eat. So that's a first thing that we can deal with. Are we one of the folk that worry about what we can eat or about the clothing we put on? Have we learned to hand that over to God? Have we ticked that one off and say, I have conquered worry as far as my next meal? Then it says, don't be anxious about anything. So that's a step up from that necessarily in Philippians 4:6. But by prayer and supplications, make your requests known to God. So that deals with all other things, as it were. And if we've managed to progress from the small things to the medium things, again, we are told not to worry. And if we're disobeying Scripture, then no matter how we choose to place it or lay it or describe it, we are sinning. And we sin when we worry about this. Because it may be that as it's going further and further, you're thinking, I'm going to have to sing for my supper. I'm going to have to give a really, really good description of why it is that I shouldn't be ultimately, and we'll see what comes in the next few weeks, will happen to me. We are told, this is the last time you need to worry. Don't worry about the really big things. There's a clear command here not to worry. And what we do know from this is the answer is not going to be given ahead of time. So the clear command for an unclear answer. Now, what I mean is it'll be clear at the time, but we don't know at this stage what that answer is going to be. But it will be given to you through the Spirit. And I just want to finish with a picture of my man up here. He's been scourged. He's been whipped. He's presenting his case, as it were, in clear ways before the crowd, before those that have condemned him and accused him. We often talk about example for witness and testimony. And we hear example of folk that go out regularly from here and give testimony and speak what it is they know of our Lord Jesus Christ to folk that have been through all sorts of situations. I venture to suggest in this little picture here that some of these people here are going to be very convinced by what this man says, because it's Holy Spirit-inspired wisdom, Holy Spirit-inspired technique, because it's not only what you should say, but how you should say it. Now, wouldn't that be fantastic if that happened all the time for us? But it seems to be that the very best of how and what we should say happens after this long series of events. What is God going to do in the hearts of those that are there? If one day you, and I say you by any one of us here, you or I are this man here, and considering what it is that we have to say. So in summary, to close today, I just want to leave you with that picture and with that thought that after the progression of these things, this is where it will happen, that we will be given what and how to say. But to beware, understand that we will be brought, and ultimately the Holy Spirit will give us the words to say. Let's pray. Lord, while there's no particularly light way of saying a heavy topic, we do thank you that ultimately, I guess the fact that we come out on top in the end is wonderful, as challenging as that will be. The wonderful sense of not coming out on top in terms of our own health or comfort or even our own lives. But Father, ultimately you will glorify yourself through what it is you're calling us to do. It would be lovely if there was a different version of the Bible that would put this differently, that this is something we've moved on from or we've understood more. And yet people are saying it's not even something happening in the future. It's happening now in my country. That same progression is happening. A brother or sister-in-law betrayed me. I've gone before a whole church structure. I've then gone before the political structure and gone before the kings. And yet, Lord Jesus, how can we pray to be released from anything that is different from what you went through? The same thing happened. The religious leaders accused you. Then you went to the secular authorities, who also colluded ultimately with those who were anointed, as it were. Father, we pray that we would be faithful and that we would be developing those close relationships with folk here, ready for what it is that's coming. Because it will be, not to put too fine a point in it, a severely uncomfortable time. And Lord, what we would all like to say, that we won't be one of the ones that will bail, etc., etc. We just pray that we would be prepared for what it is that you have in store for us. Lord, I pray, be gracious to us. Help us in these times of trouble, in these times of trial. And we thank you for these words of comfort and preparation that you give us today. Amen.